Foundation Board of Directors.
I see. And you're out here today? You're out here today helping to celebrate Juneteenth?
Yeah, we're celebrating Juneteenth. Both Laurelee and I are volunteering. And I also volunteered last year. Uh-huh. And I think it's a wonderful event. And it's, in a sense, remarkable event that it's happening in Hillsboro, Oregon. So it's just fantastic that this is occurring.
Yeah, I had a conversation earlier with someone who said that when they first came to Hillsboro, there were 20,000 people. Now it's like more like 100,000.
Yeah, it used to be, around 20,000 and now over 100,000. Used to be Washington County. One of my favorite memories is a colleague at the Oregon Community Foundation, Randy Choi, said, I grew up in Portland, and when I think of Beaverton in Washington County, I think of strawberry fields. So Washington County was typical conservative, agricultural, mostly white people county. And it's over the last 100 years, and especially during the last 20 or 30 years, has completely changed. This event would not have happened 20 years ago.
It seems to me that the recent U.S. 2020 census really picked up on the fact that the population has really changed here in Oregon. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I think it has changed. It's much more diverse, it's much more interesting, I think, and so it really has changed, and Washington County has changed. Of course, one of the main sponsors here of this event is Intel, computer company, and that's one aspect of what's really changed in Washington County, but so have many other things. You know, I remember when I ran for state representative in 2000, I knocked on lots and lots of doors. Uh-huh. And I remember coming up to a Latino family, and you kind of think, okay, Latino, they've been here since the 1950s, but probably just overlooked. You know,
gotcha.
Do you see what I mean?
Gotcha.
I think the county's becoming much more aware of its own diversity. And meanwhile, that diversity is definitely growing. I think, You interviewed Nick at the Bag and Baggage.
No, I haven't interviewed Nick yet.
You got to track him down. Again, I think he's a Hillsboro native, but at least he was telling us he's coming back to Hillsboro.
Gotcha.
And he's leading that professional theater company, Bag and Baggage, and he's doing a wonderful job.
Okay.
And he's full of energy. You saw him out here dancing, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So.
Well, great. I think it's wonderful being on the board of the FKBOO. You're out here in the community actually mixing it up.
Right. Well, we've got to do that. You know, we've got to, there's a lot of challenges as small and in a sense inexpensive as KBOO is.
Right.
I mean, there's 300 or so volunteers and maybe only 10 full-time equivalent employees.
Right.
It's still, we've got to pay for about $1 million of stuff that we can't really avoid.
Yeah.
So we really need to focus on that. And I think a lot of people who are involved in KBOO really are so genuinely dedicated to essentially saving the world and making the world a better place.
Uh-huh.
But our first job on the board and the foundation, I think, is making sure KBOO perseveres. That's our best way to save the world.
Isn't KBOO one of the oldest?
It is. You know, we were, I was just talking to somebody who's been a KBOO member for a long time, and she knows KPFA, that's based in Berkeley.
Uh-huh.
KPFK. I can never remember those two. Anyway, 75 years old. So Amy Goodman was there, you know, from Democracy Now! Was there celebrating 75 years. But KBOO is 55 years old, 56 years old.
Yeah.
So that's an amazing accomplishment. That something that is independent and funded by its listeners, organization like KBOO is still with us 56 years later.
Well, thanks a lot for taking the time out to talk to me today.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. This is a special broadcast of recorded interviews and segments celebrating Juneteenth. Many of these interviews were recorded at Washington County's Juneteenth celebration on June 8th.
I'm Sikorne Ezekwe. We're here at the Juneteenth annual celebration out here in Washington County. And I'm here with one of the people who are representing this celebration or festivities of the Juneteenth. Go ahead and give us your first name.
Nick.
Thank you for being here, Nick. And are you part of the organization? Like, are you here for the county? Like, who do you represent here as one of the people that are getting this festivities going?
Yes, so I am on the Black Advisory Business Council. I'm the secretary, and I was on the Juneteenth Planning Committee. So I helped put all this together. And today I'm the MC, and I'm having a good time.
I love that you're the MC. That's awesome. So, you know, in case there's folks that are not familiar, they're familiar, but not familiar, because really, Juneteenth, Black people have been celebrating our whole lives. But the fact that in the last couple of years that it became recognized through the government, that's how they understand what Juneteenth is.
Yeah.
But can you give us a little bit of a synopsis of what Juneteenth is and why we're celebrating it?
Absolutely. So the celebration of Juneteenth started in 1865, and it was when 250,000 slaves that were in Texas were told that they were emancipated.
Galveston, Texas, to be exact. Yes,
in Galveston. And so, you know, that was 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation.
Which was
Abraham Lincoln's executive order to end slavery for financial reasons, but we'll get into that later. But, you know, I think it's important. I was skeptical of this holiday becoming federal because I didn't really want it to become commercialized, because it has been a very sacred Black holiday for a long time. But it's
long before it was ever recognized federally. We were celebrating this in little communities like this for decades and decades, before.
Oh yeah, I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, there was a Juneteenth parade for as long as I remember.
Wow.
Before it was even talked of as being a federal, like 3 years ago it became a holiday. So I'm happy that it is, because I think that more people get to know the history, get to know that that Emancipation Proclamation didn't just snap a finger and make everything better for everyone. And still, even after Juneteenth, after 1865, there were still lots of struggles that folks had to deal with. So I'm happy that we get to have this day to shine the light on it and really have more in-depth conversations to tell our counterparts the real history of what happened in this country.
So if in a perfect world, and if this can solve things in a perfect world, what would you like for Juneteenth every year to be recognized? Not only just the celebration of just us being here and gathering, that's one aspect, but what's another aspect that you would like to, you know, at some point achieve if you could in a perfect world?
Reparations. You know, I think it's amazing that we are finally acknowledging the harm of our people in this country. But, you know, I think that there are other communities that have gotten their due in ways. But the Black community, the Indigenous community, there are folks that have not been really given back what has been taken from us. And so I think that if, you know, if everybody really wants to dig down and say, how can I support Juneteenth? You know, give some money to a Black organization, find a Black small business, you know, find a Black friend, like just send some folks. The reparations, that can start in a small way. But I think that if the government is really going to make this a holiday and try to make it something that we celebrate, that's the next step in the journey for me.
And, you know, me personally, this is not the views or, you know, the subject of KBOO Community Radio, but me, Sikorne Ezekwe, and again, you can find me on KBOO every first and third Thursday of the month, starting at 8 p.m. But I will say, from my point of view, I've always said that, you know, recognition is great, but where's the dollars? Where are the dollars at?
Money talks, especially in a capitalistic society. You know, in America, money is everything. And so really when people say, well, you know, money doesn't buy happiness. That's true, but money does tell you what people value.
Right.
And if you're going to value me by saying we celebrate the day that you were finally free, then celebrate them dollars in my pocket.
Because a lot of the folks that came out of slavery, whether it was later, you know, after people realized it or before, at the end of the day, you know, we had a lot of subjugation to deal with outside of that. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And it didn't transfer into socioeconomic wealth, which is what we're talking about when we're talking about reparations. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And also generational wealth. You know, I think there are lineages, and you know the names of the Buffetts, the people that have the money have had it for a long time. That's generational wealth. It's like, I think there are like, what, 0.3% of Black folks that are in that category. Don't quote me on that. That's not real, but it's small. And I also think that it's important to acknowledge that now we get the chance to actually do that. How do we set ourselves up as the modern Black folk to be our ancestors' wildest dreams and set our families and our futures up for success?
Well, and last question on this subject, you know, because we are here at Juneteenth. We are celebrating Juneteenth
Absolutely.
Out here out in Washington County. Let me ask you this, you know, in your perfect world, how would you like to see Black folks use their reparations, you know, because they're going to be, you know, people, naysayers that are like, well, you know, my family wasn't here or, you know, my family didn't have anything to do with that. Well, no, they didn't. But at the end of the day, your taxes help support the subjugation. So in your perfect world, what would you like to see Black folks do? Should we be given the right and that the birthright and the right towards reparations? What would you say to that?
I would love to revitalize Black wealth. I mean, there were places like Tulsa that were literally burned to the ground. There were Black folks with businesses that were supporting each other and working with each other to make amazing things happen. So I would love to be able to, you know, take that money and reinvest in our community. How can we build a space that is ours, that is for us and by us, making things that we're, you know, buying and selling from each other, creating our own commerce, not depending on, you know, taking those dollars and investing them in a way in our community that we're not dependent on, you know, the quote unquote handouts that people want to give. But
people are thinking reparations is a handout.
Absolutely. And, you know, I will let them think that as much as they want, but there are other communities that you can Google that have had reparations, and
we're not gonna say here.
I'm not,
because we ain't mad at you.
I'm not mad. I'm happy about it, but that shows me that it can be done.
It can be done.
And I also think, you know, if you think that it's a handout when I get reparations and it's not when the others do, then I think that's something you gotta assess for yourself.
But in the meantime, we looking for them dollars.
Absolutely. And also, happy Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth to start it off.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Joe Biden. If we're going to say that.
Thank you, Joe.
That's the one thing we can say.
We did it, Joe. We did it.
We did it, Joe. We did it. We're not really giving her praises, but for the sake. So any other work that your organization is doing to improve community, can you give that? And where can people find that?
Absolutely. So the Black Advisory Business Council actually just gave away $4,000 in scholarships for the first time through the Black Advisory Business Council Scholarship Fund, which is so amazing. Titonian Wallace Sr. was the president that really made that happen. And so we're directly investing into Black futures and Black students, not just in educational spaces, but also vocational work. So if students want to go to a trade school, we'll give them dollars for that too. And I think that's important, to invest in our young people in whatever they want to do. And so that's one way BABC is doing it. But also, you know, I moved here 2 years ago, and
wherever you go, there you are.
Exactly. Exactly. Like moving from Omaha, my friend was like, you going to Oregon? Are there Black people there? And because of the council, I found them. And we have made an amazing community, and I have a great network. And this event would not come together had I not joined this group. So I'm very thankful for the council for just bringing us together. It's very important that business owners, Black business owners in spaces where we're a minority, can see that we're here and support each other.
And what's a website or a social media site that people can go to actually get more information?
Absolutely. It's Black Advisory Business Council on Instagram. You can also go to the Washington County Chamber of Commerce website and check the diversity panels there or the diversity councils there and find our page there. And I believe we're also on Facebook as Black Advisory Business Council. So yeah, follow us, check us out, and come see what the work we're doing out in Hillsborough.
I love it. Thank you so much, Nick, for taking the time during this fun festivities to give your information and to share your insight. And yes, reparations for foundational Black Americans, very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, my name is Tina, and I'm a volunteer here at the Juneteenth celebration. I'm working for Cable Radio, and I have today Aubrey, who is one of the vendors here. So Aubrey, tell us what this means to you to come out and celebrate Juneteenth.
I mean, it is so great. I work for the Department of Human Services. I'm the Community Partnership Coordinator at our Hillsborough Self-Sufficiency Office. And we as an organization have really been trying to get out and meet our Oregonians where they're at and be able to serve them at community events like this in order to break down barriers so people can access all of our services, self-sufficiency services like SNAP, ERDC, TANF, Oregon Health Plan. We can even do Medicaid long-term care basic eligibility out here today. So we are just trying to get out to these community events and help our Oregonians right here and break down those barriers of sometimes it's hard to get out to the office and turn in an application or even figure out how to go through our application program online or, you know, wait times over the phone. So happy to be here, and we're just so excited to be able to, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. happy to be able to be here today.
Okay. So are there other community celebrations that you guys are, that you visit?
Yes. This past weekend we were at the Hillsborough Pride Celebration.
Okay.
Our employee resource group, our Pride employee resource group out here in District 16, Washington County, they were here, they had a booth, and it was a blast. We will also be at the Tigard Pride Celebration on the 29th and the Beaverton Pride Celebration on the 30th.
Wonderful. So you really are getting out to where the people are at.
Yes, that is our goal. And we have this lovely mobile eligibility van that we have where we have Starlink so we can have the internet. And we are able to do eligibility right here for all of those programs and services.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We also have child welfare out here today trying to recruit and provide information for resource parents, which is what we now call foster parents as resource parents. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So how long have you worked for the department?
I've worked for the Department of Human Services for 5 years now. Uh-huh. Just had my 5-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I started in this role back in February, but before that I worked for Aging and People with Disabilities as a case manager.
I see.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any new programming that you're sharing with people today as far as human services is concerned?
New programming. I think we're really focusing on trying to recruit resource parents right now. It's not a new program, but we really are trying to increase the amount of resource parents we have in order to meet the needs of the kiddos who need a place to go.
What have you enjoyed so far about the festival?
Oh my gosh, it has been great. The music's fun. We've had a lot of great engagement already. People interested in our programs. We've already been able to answer questions, including case-specific questions for people.
Okay. All right.
With like OHP cases and things. I love seeing the kiddos out here having fun. And, you know, here at Orenco Station, it's great because it's outside. And so I love just engaging with all of the community, including especially the kiddos and people's dogs. Like out here at Orenco Station, it's all
dogs,
about the dogs.
Yeah.
So I get a fawn over the fur babies as well as the human babies.
Well, that's a part of getting out in the community.
Yes, I love it. I love seeing the kiddos engaged and having fun and, yeah, just connecting with all the families. Because here with ODHS, we provide services, you know, we say from cradle to grave, you know,
sure.
For everybody in different walks of life. So,
sure. I think with the department being out here, it puts more of a human face
yes.
on the work that you do.
Yes, and we are trying very hard to do that. you know, we recognize that historically we've done harm to communities. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to learn from those occasions and trying to just do better outreach, learn from the communities about what they need,
sure.
and how we can help them the way they want to be helped.
Sure.
So that's what we're trying to do, and that's why we're out here today, and just trying to engage at all sorts of events and meet the communities exactly where they're at. So
well,
Juneteenth,
well,
Pride, I believe there's a Latino cultural festival going on in Hillsboro
uh-huh.
that we're going to try to attend to also on the 30th, so that'll be another team, albeit Beaverton Pride. But
well, great. Well, you know, it's really wonderful talking to you today.
Thank Looks you so like much. That.
What's happening? It's Tin Can Phones, Misfit Adi. We right here on KBOO Radio. This is the KBOO Community Juneteenth Celebration, man. This is a conversation with my brother, BG. This is another writing from the inside, man, from the voices from the inside out. That's what Tin Can Phone is about, by your boy, Misfit Adi. I lay flat on my back, eyes wide shut, trying to control my breathing as the walls closing in. Staring out the window pane of my soul, life like a foot in socks with holes. I'm exposed. My blood boils as I sit in this hell, a world full of identity crisis where the actions don't match the heart. Instead, we play the part of expectations from another man. We're faithless pawns on a board, no direction but claim to be moving forward. Locked in solitary confinement, praying to any Lord that'll listen. I need to be free from this mental enslavement, corpse in cages, embodied living like cavemen. Got visions of doing right, but wrong so easy. Praise for pressing, but shit it on for reading. Call me TP, blackball for being educated. Systematic slavery, we're segregating. I'm smarter than I look or than you thought. I'm flattered, but that's subconsciously serving hatred on a platter. But it's mind over matter. If I don't mind, it don't matter. Well, that's no longer the case because I have been awakened in a place of understanding of self. Generational wealth. Please.
Yes.
I'm Kingston, and you're tuned into a special rebroadcast of the Washington County Chamber of Commerce Juneteenth Celebration on KBOO Portland.
Hi, this is Tina with KBOO Radio. I'm a volunteer here at the Juneteenth Celebration here in Hillsboro. And today I have in front of me...
Olson Miller.
So, Olson Miller, tell us what you're doing today here at the celebration.
Today I am a parent that is representing the Black Village Parent Advisory Committee. We're a parent group that work with the Hillsboro School District, and we advocate and kind of stand in the gap for our Black students in the district. That is K-12 students that identify in any way, are partial or whole being Black, African,
uh-huh.
and it's really where. We know that a lot of times parent voice is not heard in some spaces, and we wanted to make sure that we showed up for our kids.
Okay, all right. So do you do these committee events very often?
Quite often we do. The district supports us in all ventures, so we try to be as visible as possible.
So how long have you been involved with Black Village?
So we came the Black Village in, I think it's in 2019,
uh-huh.
and it's really a matter of we had some parents that asked, hey, where's the parent group for Black students? And because there wasn't one, we formed one, and we've been supported by the district ever since.
Okay, so if somebody wanted to know more information about Black Village, how would they do that?
The best way to find out about the Black Village would be to go to the Hillsborough School District's website,
okay.
and then go into the section where it says Parent Advisory Groups, and we are located in that spot.
So am I to understand that this organization works in conjunction with the Hillsborough School District?
Absolutely. We work with the district, although in order to be part of the board, the actual Black Village, you have to be a parent of a student in the district. But we do get support by the district.
How large is that board?
That board right now is only consisting of three of us, but we are always looking for new members because we want to expand.
All right. So is this also a resource that the students can use?
Students, and that is why our group is not a parent advisory committee. We are a family advisory committee. We believe it takes a village to support our children. So that's what we advocate, that we are there for all parts of the family.
Okay. You want to go ahead and read off your contact information?
Okay, our contact information is www.hsd.k12.or.us/BVFAC. That's the Black Village Family Advisory Committee. And our web email address is blackvillagefac@gmail.com.
Okay. Well, it's kind of exciting coming out here in the community where the people are at. Is that about right?
It is absolutely exciting. We love it. We get to talk with everyone as they walk around, and this is great.
This is Sequoia Ezekiel here at the Washington County Annual Juneteenth Celebration, and I'm speaking with a representative of Delectable Delights. They have fabulous little donuts and pastries and cookies and cakes and things like that. And how can people find you? Well, first of all, what's your first name, and how are you connected to this business?
Yeah, so my name is Huda Osman, and I am the owner of Delectable Delights. I started this business with my husband this year. Our goal was to share different varieties of milk, like desserts, especially something that's connected to our culture. I'm Somalian, so I wanted to make cakes that represents my culture, as well as my husband's culture, who's Arab as well. He's Arab. And then people can find me on Delectable Delights PDX on Instagram. I am located in Portland, Oregon. I don't have any connection in Washington County besides my husband works in Washington County. I used to be from Washington County, and then I bought a house and moved to, Clackamas County now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And
do you guys do made-to-order made-to-order delectables that people can just order online and have mailed to them or delivered to them, rather?
Yeah, so right now we don't have the capacity to do delivery, but a lot of people who do want to order our desserts, they can place an order with us through Instagram, and then we can make that order for them, and they can pick it up from our warehouse, or we can meet halfway. Mm-hmm. So whatever works, that's something that I'll discuss with the client, and like whatever's easier for them. If I have time, I can deliver, but most of them it's like mostly for pickup.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how can our audience find Delectable Delights?
So they can follow us on Instagram, Delectable Delights PDX. We also have a TikTok as well, Delectable Delights PDX. Nice. So you guys can see and watch me make the different variety of recipes that I promote as well as sell. That's how people can connect with me. Mm-hmm.
And give us your name one more time.
My name is Huda Osman.
Huda Osman.
Yes, Huda Osman. Yep, I'm East African Somali, more specifically. Portland's been in my home.
People of color business.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you. Well, I really appreciate it, and I'm about to buy something right now. So thank you so much for doing this interview with us.
Hi, this is Tina Turner Morfa with Cable Radio. Today, I'm a volunteer here at the Juneteenth Celebration here in Hillsboro. And today I have before me
Barry Johnson Smith.
So, Barry Johnson Smith, what are you doing out here today?
Well, I'm a part of the Juneteenth Planning Committee. I'm the Vice Chair of the Black Advisory Business Council, we're also the MC Nick Wickham. We're one of the main people leading the committee to plan this illustrious event we have today for Juneteenth.
So how long did it take you to plan all this?
It took us about January, December, January, started to get the ball rolling. So yeah, it's about a good 6 months.
Okay. So how long will the celebration last today?
The celebration will last, we'll start at 12, we'll be out here till 6:30 p.m. So give a whole day for people to come through, walk around, see all the businesses they can, get some joy, some good food. So yeah.
So how did you locate all of these vendors?
I want to give a shout out to our Black Advisory Business Council. They did a really good job of recruiting and talking to people about Juneteenth. We did a really good job last year where we had 70 vendors. And through that, we reconnected with some from last year, as well as our committee reached out to new ones. So we want new ones to get the attention that comes from our event.
I noticed you have some state agencies out here today.
Excuse me again?
You have state agencies that are out here today?
Yeah, a lot of the state agencies that come here support, like, from Washington County to Hillsborough, that come and do support sponsors for our event. So we appreciate the support as well for our event as well. Khalil, we want to have everyone to celebrate Juneteenth, so we want all types of vendors to show for our event.
So you said this is your second year doing this?
This is our third year. We've been in it for 3 years now.
Sweet. So, what overall did you want to accomplish today?
One of the main goals, well, a couple goals, is we wanted to highlight the Black business here in Washington County, know that the Black business presence here, and do people celebrate and get to celebrate and enjoy Juneteenth. We'll have someone later named Mariah from Oregon Black Pioneer to give a little bit of history of Juneteenth. But also want people to celebrate together, just like this is a celebration of freedom and liberation. Mm-hmm. And we want everyone to be part of that.
Okay. All right. So if more people wanted to find out about the organization that put this together, how could they do that?
They can look for us. We're on the Washington County Chamber of Commerce. So if you type in Google, like, or whatever search page you have, Washington County Chamber of Commerce Black Advisory Business Council, or just Washington County Black Advisory Business Council, you'll find our page with our contact information, where you'll find either, we'll find mine and Latasha's contact information.
Okay. Give us your name again.
My name is Barry Johnson Smith.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Smith.
Thank
I hope you have
much.
A wonderful day today.
You too. Appreciate it. Thank you.
This is Tin Can Phones, Misfit Adi, right here on K-Boo Community Radio. This is a K-Boo's Juneteenth celebration conversation with my brother, BG. What's happening?
Hey, man, brother. What's good with, bro?
Yeah, I love it, man. I love to have this dialogue, man. And so I want to speak on Juneteenth being incarcerated. I know it may be different in different states, it may be different in different institutions. I'm going to talk about Columbia River right here in Portland, where we was at, where we seen it come together. Shouts out Mike Fester, and shout out, you know, our OG Rob Richardson, man. You know, those guys, they were my first experience of a Juneteenth celebration. And it's sad. Like, it's sad that it took for me going to prison, and this is my second bid. This is where I learned about Juneteenth and the meaning. Like, of course, I heard it in the community. Like, I heard it, but to have a real understanding, I never had, like, a real understanding of Juneteenth and the importance.